And this morning we're going to be reading from Numbers 18 to 19. And it says this. So the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. And with you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. They shall keep guard over you and over the whole tent, but shall not come near to the vessels of the sanctuary or to the altar, lest they and you die. They shall join you and keep guard over the tent of the meeting for all the service of the tent, and no outsider shall come near you. You shall keep guard over the sanctuary and over the altar, that there may never again be wrath on the people of Israel. And behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel. They are a gift to you, given to the Lord, to do the service of the tent of meeting. And you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood as a gift, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Behold, I've given you charge of the contributions made to me, all the consecrated things of the people of Israel. I've given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual due. This shall be yours of the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every guilt suffering of theirs, offering of theirs, with which they render to me shall be most holy to you and to your sons. In a most holy place shall you eat it. Every male may eat it, it is holy to you. This also is yours, the contribution of their gift, all the wave offerings of the people of Israel. I have given them to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual due. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the grain, the first fruits of what they give to the Lord, I give to you. The first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And their redemption price at a month old you shall redeem them. You shall fix it at 5 shekels in silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat you shall not redeem, they're holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and shall burn their fat as a food offering, which with pleasing aroma to the Lord. But their flesh shall be yours, as the breast that is waved, and as the right thigh are yours. All the holy contributions that the people of Israel present to the Lord I give to you, and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual due. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord, for you and for your offspring with you. And the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in the land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion, your inheritance among the people of Israel. To the Levites I have given every tithe and Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service that they do. Their service in the tent of meeting, so that the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and among the people of Israel. They shall have no inheritance, for the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said of them that they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Moreover, you shall speak and say to the Levites, when you take from the people of Israel the tithe that I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe, and your contribution shall be counted to you as though it were the grain and grain or the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. So you shall also present a contribution to the Lord from all your tithes. which you received from the people of Israel. And from it you shall give the Lord's contribution to Aaron the priest. Out of all the gifts to you, you shall present every contribution due to the Lord. From each, its best part is to be dedicated. Therefore you shall say to them, when you've offered from it the best of it, then the rest shall be counted to the Levites as produce of the threshing floor and as produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward in return for your service in the tent of meeting. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, when you've contributed the best of it, but you shall not profane the holy things of the people of Israel, lest you die. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, this is the statute of the Lord, that the Lord has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer, without defect, in which there is no blemish, and on which a yoke has never come. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be taken outside the camp and slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his fingers and sprinkle some of its blood towards the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. And the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its skin, its flesh, and its blood, with its dung, shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them into the fire burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. And afterwards he may come into the camp, but the priest shall be unclean until evening. The one who burns the heifer shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water and shall be unclean until evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the water for impurity, for the congregation of the people of Israel. It is a sin offering. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. This shall be a perpetual statute for the people of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them. Whoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean for 7 days. He shall cleanse himself with the water on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day, and so be clean. But if he does not cleanse himself on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, he will not become clean. Whoever touches a dead person, the body of anyone who has died, and does not cleanse himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. And that person should be cut off from Israel, because the water for impurity was not thrown on him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law when someone dies in a tent. Everyone who comes into the tent and everyone who is in the tent shall be unclean for 7 days. And every open vessel that has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches someone who was killed with a sword, who died naturally, or touches a human bone or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. For the unclean they shall take some ashes of the burnt sin offering, and fresh water shall be added in a vessel. Then a clean person shall take a hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it on the tent and on all the furnishings and on the persons who were there and on whoever touched the bone or the slain or the dead or the grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle it on the unclean on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Thus on the 7th day he shall cleanse him, and he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and at evening he shall be clean. If the man who is unclean does not cleanse himself, that person shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, since he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Because the water for impurity has not been thrown on him, he is unclean. And it shall be a statute forever for them. The one who sprinkles the water for impurity shall wash his clothes, and the one who touches the water for impurity shall be unclean until evening. And whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and anyone who touches it shall be unclean until evening. Well, in a moment, we're going to have a look at that passage. Before we do, there's just a couple of things to mention. The first is there'll be an opportunity to ask questions after the sermon. So bear that in mind now, so you can be thinking of what questions you might have. It might be something to do with the passage that we haven't mentioned upon, or it might be something to do with what we've discussed. Also, there's a sermon outline, and that can be downloaded from the description on the YouTube channel. So obviously, if that's used, then you can make use of that. And then finally, most importantly, we're going to ask God to help us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can see you dwelling with your people here, and yet at the same time, we can see it's quite a risky business, as your wrath can kindle against them because they are sinful and rebel against you. And yet, as we reflect on these things, we anticipate a day when we will dwell with you, but we will be able to dwell with you in a way that is very different to the people of Israel, because you've sent your Son and made us more than clean, but justified us in your sight. And so we pray, Lord, as we reflect on these things in Numbers, that it'd help us to see how your redemptive history unravels, so that we might know you better and be grateful for the work that you've done on our behalf. Amen. Well, at the end of number 16, if you can remember back to last week, so number 16, and in verse 49, we read there of how there's been a great plague, and that plague has wiped out 14,700 Israelites. 14,700 Israelites. That presents two problems. The first problem we see actually outlined by the Israelites themselves at the end of number 17, verses 12 and 13. Numbers 17, verses 12 to 13 says this. The people of Israel said to Moses, "Behold, we perish. We are undone. We are all undone. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Are we all to perish?" The Israelites are in utter panic. And in their panic, they fear that Yahweh will consume anyone who steps too close to the tabernacle. And their thinking will lead them to believe that the safest thing to do is to move further and further away from the presence of Yahweh. Israel and Yahweh are on the cusp of separating. If this isn't dealt with, God's people will be too afraid to live in the presence of their God. That's the first problem. The second problem, presented by the death of 14,700 Israelites, is how to bury the dead. We know, because we've read it back in Numbers 5, verse 2, and elsewhere, whoever touches a dead body is to be put out of the camp. In 19 verse 11, we read, "Whoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean for 7 days." Logistically, this is a nightmare. The task is going to be difficult enough. Simply burying 14,700 people in the wilderness. But it's further exacerbated when everyone involved will need to isolate for 7 days. Of course, this is only the tip of the iceberg. If you remember back in Numbers 14, the people had grumbled against God. They refused to take the land. They said they'd rather die in Egypt or would rather die in the wilderness. Well, God is obliging and gives them exactly what they asked for. All 603,550 people will die in the wilderness. And all these dead bodies will need to be buried. And so something must be done. Now, when we come to today's passage and we arrive at Numbers 18 and Numbers 19, it's very easy to think this all sounds very familiar. This seems like yet another unnecessary repetition of something we've already come across and already read. And it's true, a lot of what we read this morning does sound very familiar. But let's have a closer look. When God saved the people of Israel from Egypt, when he did that, he redeemed all the firstborn of Israel. The firstborn of Egypt died, but the Lord passed over the firstborn of Israel because of the lamb's blood on the doorpost of their houses. Now, already it's worth pausing here just for a moment. What's going on here is this. God promised the Israelites that if you put the blood of a lamb on your doorpost, your firstborn son will not die. And what do the Israelites do? Their response is they believe God, and they demonstrate their belief in his promise by putting blood on their doorposts. Notice what's happening here. The firstborn are saved by faith. That is to say, the people believed that God's promise was genuine, was true. Now, all this background is to get us to the point where we understand that the firstborn of Israel belonged to God because he redeemed them. However, instead of taking the firstborn of Israel, God redeems them with the tribe of Levi. So God takes the Levites in place of the firstborn. So the Levites belong to God. Now that the Levites are his, what does God do with them? Well, God gives the Levites to Aaron so that the Levites can make atonement for the people. So God has taken what already belongs to him and he's given what belongs to him to his people in order to make provision for their atonement so the people would not die. We also read about how the Levites are unique among the tribe of Israel. Every other tribe receives a portion of land as their inheritance, but not the Levites. If you look chapter 18, verse 20, we read this, "And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land." Seems a bit much. The Levites have been given the high responsibility, and yet they're not to receive an inheritance. But then have a look at Numbers 18, verse 8. "Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, behold, I have given you charge of the contributions made to me. All the consecrated things of the people of Israel I've given them to you as a portion, and to your sons as a perpetual due." So this is how it works. The people of Israel are all the 12 tribes are to devote gifts to the Lord. This includes a whole range of things, the offerings, every firstborn animal, the redemption price for any animal, all of it belongs to the Lord. So once again, God takes these gifts, that which has been dedicated to him, and gives these gifts to the Levites. At this point, if we had been studying John recently, it'd be extremely tempting to make the connection between the God we read of here, who, having received gifts from the people, generously gives them to the people for their good, and connect him to the generous father we read of in John's Gospel. There we read how the Father gives the Son for the atonement of his people. We read of how the Father gives a people to his Son. And the Father gives the people to the Son so the Son can keep them and give them eternal life. See, the generous God of the Old Testament is the generous Father of the New. Now, much of what has been outlined so far is familiar, but what is unique in Numbers 18 is a further provision. Notice in 18, verse 1, it begins like this. So, the Lord said to Aaron. What's unhelpful when it comes to our layout of the Bible is we have this big gap between 17 verse 13 and 18 verse 1. Not only do we have a big gap, but we have a additional fresh heading that also divides those two verses. Really, what's said in verse 1 follows on from what's said in 17 verse 13. So, in response to this, as a result of this, the Lord said to Aaron, what is said in verse 18 is a response to the outcry at the end of chapter 17. Every provision that God makes is so that a holy God can live with a sinful people. And God is going to extreme lengths to ensure that they're able to dwell together without God consuming his people. And here we see in chapter 18 that the Levite shall bear the iniquity of the people. We particularly see in verse 5, and you shall keep guard over the sanctuary and over the altar, that there may never again be wrath on the people of Israel. The people are in fear for their lives. The result is a serious question over whether the people can continue to live with God and not be consumed. But God makes provision. The Levites will bear the iniquity of the people so God can continue to dwell with his people. In Numbers 19, we have a complex ritual for purification. The water of impurity must be made. Making the water of impurity involves the slaughtering and burning of a red cow, which means a carcass is going to be involved. And so that those who make the water of impurity, in order to clean anyone who's been in contact with a dead body, he himself becomes unclean because of his contact with the carcass of the sacrifice. Despite the fact that the potion they're making is being made up has the power to clean the person who's been in contact with a dead body. You see, we begin to appreciate the complexity and the lengths that must be gone to. Once the water of impurity has been made, it's available so that anyone who's been in contact with a dead body can cleanse themselves with the water of impurity. However, we also read, anyone who doesn't make use of the water of impurity remains contaminated and therefore is at risk of contaminating the whole camp, so they're to be cut off from the people. So hopefully we can begin to see that numbers 18 and 19 isn't just yet another repeat of something we've already read about. Instead, this is extremely relevant to the situation the people find themselves in. The people are scared that they will be consumed because they live too close to God. 14,700 people are dead. Will all the people be consumed? Then there's the question around how to deal with the dead bodies. Touching dead bodies makes you unclean. And anyone who is unclean will be cut off from the people because they're in danger of contaminating the holy things. The very provision God has made to keep the people from being consumed. And so in chapters 18 and 19, God makes further provision for the people. The Levites bear the iniquity for the Israelites, so they won't be consumed. And the water of impurity cleans anyone who touches a dead body. So as we finish this morning, we finish with the question, well then why did God give the law? Well, it all actually begins back with Abraham. It begins with a promise. A promise that was also made to Abraham's offspring. But here's the thing. Many years would have to pass between Abraham and the arrival of his offspring. And the question is, what will happen in the meantime? Well, in the meantime, God dwells with his people. But here we have a people who are in real danger of being consumed. But notice what happens. If the people are consumed, what will happen, what will come of Abraham's offspring? And if Abraham's offspring doesn't come because the people are consumed, then what will happen to the promise that God has made? Well, of course, it's unthinkable that God would consume his people and that the offspring would never come. That would mean God wouldn't keep his promise. It would mean his word would prove to be false. That's why God gave the law. It was a law to those who the promise was made to, so that for the time being, every provision had been made so that God could dwell with his people until the time came for the offspring to arrive. And it'd be through Abraham's offspring that the promise would be fulfilled. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave your people the law so that they might know how to serve you and know everything that was required and every provision that you made, so that they might not be consumed. We thank you that you gave them the holy things, so that they had everything they needed to make atonement for their sin. And you gave them the guidelines that they needed to protect the holy things from uncleanliness, so that once again, they had been able to make atonement for their sin and not contaminate it, so that they might not be consumed. And so we thank you that this law was given to be a guardian, to protect your people until the offspring came. We pray, Lord, that as we reflect on these things and are grateful for your giving of the law, we would appreciate that it was only for a time until the promise was fulfilled through your Son. We pray and ask that we would now revel in the fact that we live in the phase of redemptive history where the promise has been fulfilled and your Son is here, and we can live by the promise and in faith with him. We pray, Lord, that we'd be cautious and careful not to go back to the old ways now that the new is here. Amen. Well, I mentioned a moment ago there'd be an opportunity for questions. Here's how it works. You should have a live chat on your screen at some point. And on that live chat, if you put a Q, just as I've done there, then we know that you would like to ask a question. And so there's a question coming. And it just gives you an opportunity to take your time in formulating your question as you type it in. We're not likely to move on because we know a question's coming. So that's just a little helpful thing. Just put a cue in so we know the question's on its way. You can ask about anything related to numbers 18 and 19, or the sort of themes that we've been thinking about this morning. Questions of clarification, further implications, or you can make a comment about what we've been thinking about today. Please could you clarify the idea of the redemption of the firstborn in chapter 18? Okay. So, verse 15 of chapter 18, everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem, and their redemption price at a month old you shall redeem them. You shall fix the 5 shekels in silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar, and you shall burn their fat as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Their flesh shall be yours, and so on. So I think that's what we're referring to. So what's happening here is the firstborn of everything, all animals and all males, belong to God. And so what happens to the firstborn is they're to be sacrificed to God. Now, of course, that immediately results in some problems. There are two problems. One is you can't really sacrifice an unclean animal to God, I think. And then the second one is you can't sacrifice a human to God, because that's not a sacrifice that he will allow, in the sense of full-blown killing humans. So in that case, they're to be redeemed. And so let's see what we got. The firstborn of an unclean, everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, which the offers of the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall redeem, the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. So a price is paid in place of them. So instead of the Levites receiving the animals or the people, they receive the value that's decided for the redemption. So the firstborn instead of giving the firstborn male, finance an offering of money is made in their place to redeem them.